Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you on ambulatory burn care. And I have a fantastic panel of speakers today. My name is Sarvesh Lagseni. I'm head of the burn unit at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Those of you who don't know where it is, it's in the geographical center of North America, which means that nobody really knows where it is, and it's in the middle of BF nowhere. Part of my language. The first speaker that I'd like to introduce you today, can you still hear me? Hello? Okay, there we go. All right. Is Dr. Gary Vercruzzi, who's the professor of surgery at the University of Michigan. He's director of emergency surgery. He did his burn fellowship at Grady and then went on to do another trauma and critical care fellowship at Shock Trauma in Baltimore. He'll be talking to you about transfer and triage guidelines. Thank you, Gary. We will hold questions until the end.
Okay, thank you. So we're each going to talk for about 15 minutes and leave some time for questions at the end. So here we go. So the current paradigm around the United States anyway, and probably I would assume Canada, is that most burn patients are transferred to a burn center. You get a burn, there's a phone call made, and you get transferred to a burn center. Now, burn centers are very complete. They're made for a reason. They're made to take care of burn patients. At burn centers, we can provide acute and reconstructive surgery. We can provide excellent ICU care. We can provide physical therapy and occupational therapy, psychiatry and psychology, social work, nutrition, the list goes on. All this tailored to the burn patient. And it's important that burn centers do exist for these patients, I believe, obviously. And we can handle just about anything. We can handle big burns. We can handle mass casualty incidents. We can handle small burns. We can handle outpatient burns. We can handle burns in the clinic. And we provide longitudinal care for years and years and years after the patient's burned to provide for all of their needs as they may arise. And really, the goal of burn centers should be patient-centered care. I firmly believe that. And I believe that this should include when to consult and when to not transfer the patient. So there are instances when maybe the patient doesn't need to be transferred. Transferring a patient to a burn center takes the patient out of their community. It makes life, it can make life hard for the patient and for the family. It may not be necessary all of the time, and we'll go through some examples of that. And there are sometimes more patient-centered options that some of our other speakers will be talking about later. So near automatic transfer of every burn center can be very expensive. The average cost for transfer by helicopter at our institution is about $15,000 a patient, and it goes up based on miles that the patient's away from the burn center. It can be potentially dangerous. Occasionally there's crashes and those don't end well. And it's very different from the rest of the world. Now all burn patients aren't transferred by helicopter, but those are the ones that are the most expensive. So a few years ago at the Western Trauma, I was witness to this this presentation, and this author noted that in the last 15 years, there were 137 air medical evacuation crashes, leading to 113 deaths and 54 injuries. So calling for a helicopter isn't an automatic. It should be well thought out. It should be planned, and it shouldn't be used for the 1% burn. That'll be just fine if they get a little dab of cream. So I actually did my fellowship in burn care after I'd been a surgeon for several years, and this is what I thought most burn patients were. So I thought, you see these people, that they're like a marshmallow that gets too close to the bonfire, and they're very sick, they're on ventilators, they're in the ICU, they're scarred for life, they have lots of deformity, it's just a terrible thing to have to deal with. And I wanted to transfer as many patients as I could to a burn center because I was very uncomfortable dealing with them. And I think around the country, there's several reasons why most patients are transferred to burn centers. I think part of this is because burn education, at least this was true for me for sure, has been significantly reduced within U.S. residency programs such that it's not a requirement for general surgery anymore. most physicians now feel uncomfortable caring for burn patients, whether they be family practitioners or emergency room doctors or general surgeons, you know. And I think that in some senses, there's a sense of medical legal obligation and institutional recommendations from the ABA, frankly, for transfer. So this is the current paradigm for referral criteria to a burn center. And if you look at this list, it's pretty comprehensive. In fact, it's hard to find a patient that doesn't meet one requirement or another for transfer to a burn center. And this, talking with people that developed these criteria many years ago, this wasn't based on necessarily science, it was based on opinion, you know, and the current opinion is sort of changing. In fact, there's a working group at the ABA looking at maybe some of these criteria should be consultative criteria, not necessarily automatic transfer to a burn center. And I think this is a more patient-centered way to go, frankly. If you look at, this is data from Grady Memorial Hospital, but this can be transposed to the nation. It's very similar to this. If you look at the data for all burns that are admitted, most burns are small. 70% of all burns are less than 20% or 10% total body surface area. 88% of all burns are less than 20% total body surface area. So only 12% of burns that you'll see out of all the people that get burned will be those large burns that everyone's concerned with and that definitely need to be at a burn center. That's not to say some small burns don't need to be at a burn center either, but just giving you raw statistics for percent total body surface area, the average burn is small. And you know, I'm not a very smart man. I like to say, much like Forrest Gump, that burns are like a box of chocolate. You know, you never know what you're gonna get. And so when you look at a burn, there are definitely indications for transfer. There's four indications in my book for transfer. One is suspicious circumstances. You don't know exactly what happened. And this is usually in relatively young patients and relatively old patients. And what we're talking about here are maybe these are burns of abuse. So I would definitely not send that patient home without patient follow-up. I would keep that patient in my facility. I would probably transfer that patient to a burn center because they can help that workup that needs to happen. Another one is the small but deep burn that would definitely benefit from grafting. So small burns will generally heal. Even if they're deep, they'll heal by contraction. They can leave nasty scars. They can leave disfigurement. They can need to be revised at a later date. So small deep burns should probably go to a burn center. Do they need to be transferred that night? That's a whole nother debate. Probably not. But they should go to a burn center. And then there's the painful burn that requires IV narcotics for dressing changes. These patients, if sent home, generally won't do their dressing changes, and so they'll end up with burn wound cellulitis. They'll end up getting admitted to the hospital. They'll end up in more trouble than they need to be. So they should probably go to a burn center as well. And then there's the large burn. That's obvious. I'm not going to say what a large burn is, but a burn that makes you uncomfortable because it's too large. So even if you're not a pro from Dover, there's a couple people with gray hair in the audience, they may recognize these two people. I'm not gonna identify them right now. But even if you're not a pro from Dover, you should be able to take care of something like this, right? This is a less than 1% total body surface area superficial partial thickness burn, otherwise known as a second degree burn. It meets ABA criteria for transfer. What happened to our slides here? There we go. It meets ABA criteria for transfer because it's on a foot, it crosses a joint, right? But it's a perfect example of someone who, with proper coaching and proper education, could be managed as an outpatient, not be transferred to a burn center in the middle of the night, maybe follow up with a burn center later on for continuous care, and get good care rendered by the emergency physician or the acute care surgeon at the initial setting. So when you see these patients, I think you should do a basic assessment, figure out their burn size, the patient's age, their patient's comorbidities, and really take a look at the burn to try to figure out what kind of burn it is. You should get IV access, you should do a history and physical exam, the patient should get pain control, wash the patient with soap and water, verify their tetanus status, maybe give them a tetanus shot if they need it, photograph the burn. That way you can talk with a burn surgeon about it and really get an idea and give them an idea of what's going on. wrap the patient in dry sheets and maintain normal thermia so they don't, if they do get transferred, end up real cold. So when you're figuring out burn size, this is talk for another time, but use the rule of nines. You can all look it up, figure out what it is. If that doesn't work, you can use the patient's palm, and that will be very similar to 1% of their total body surface area. Don't use your palm, especially on kids, because you'll underestimate their burn size. And you know, all burns are not the same. When you look at these burns, there's some burns here that are very deep, especially the top one with the foot. That's a very deep chemical burn. The one on the right-hand side, lower right-hand side, is a patient that got drunk and his friends tasered him like 40 times on his back because he was challenging them and said that he couldn't be taken down. Well, eventually they took him down and he ended up with a deep burn surrounded by a relatively superficial burn. Does that guy need to be transferred immediately to a burn center? He was transferred for electrical injury to our burn center and eventually got grafted, but I don't think it needed to happen in the middle of the night. You know, and then there's the guy that spilled hot tea on his thumb. Technically, that meets transfer criteria because it's a burn across a joint and it's on the hand, but he's going to do just fine with some coaching and dressing changes. And we actually saw him in clinic and avoided having him transferred in the middle of the night, which was a good thing, I think. So if you see any burns like this, these are burns that are suspicious of abuse. You should definitely do the assessment, wash them, photograph them, dress them, and talk about transfer to a burn center, right? So once you assess the patient, maybe dress the wound and one of our other excellent speakers is going to talk about this more. If the burn is a small burn, consider oral rehydration with maintenance of IV fluid as necessary. If it's a large burn, start formal resuscitation. Telephone or video consultation with a burn center should be your next step so that you can develop a plan between the two people on the phone and come to a reasonable, mutually agreeable plan. And, you know, the American Burn Association published a resuscitation formula a few years ago called the consensus formula. I would encourage you all to look it up so that you don't end up with patients that get way over resuscitated like the gentleman in the bottom left, or extend the burn penumbrum by not giving the patient enough fluid as in the right. And definitely avoid fluid boluses. Place a Foley, monitor urine output for big burns. So the Western Trauma Association is coming out with a paper in the near future looking at preferred triage of the burn patient, which incorporates a lot of these things, and you can look forward to reading that hopefully in the near future. And we'll take questions at the end. I would just remind you that Thanksgiving's coming up, and anyone who likes fried turkey, beware. None of these fried turkey rigs are UL listed, and for a good reason, right? So you get a couple of guys together and a 12-pack of beer and a little kid in a turkey outfit that's playing tag around the turkey fryer, and it never ends well. So just be careful. Okay, thank you. That's all I have to say today.